Almighty Father and gracious God, bless us. We will read the Bible from St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out on the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we heard this portion of the gospel, it spoke much of fishing. In this area, people have fished and still fish, probably in a different way than they fished during the time of Jesus. I'm not an expert on fishing, but as I am able to read, I read from the internet pages of the services that this Liaka River forked into the Tornio River, and they got much fish. And these Kukkola Rapids are a place where you can see how they fished in the olden times. But also in this area, a different kind of catch has been gotten, and it is connected to the time of visitation of Lestadius. In the 1800s, there was a time of visitation here. At the beginning of our gospel text, we were not by a river, but they were by the waters of Gennesaret. Jesus was just beginning his ministry. At this, he did not have disciples yet. He was standing on the shore, and he was teaching and preaching of the joyous tidings of the kingdom of God. Why were there people on the shores of the Sea of Gennesaret? It says in the Bible that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Our evangelist Luke tells us that they were here to listen to the word of God, But there were other reasons why they were there. In the fourth chapter of Luke, it tells us that when Jesus preached, he was spoken of all around. And then it is also said about him that his reputation spread all around in that area, and people listened to him gladly. And Luke tells us that the people tried to stop him from leaving. But surely, especially the people were eager to listen to Jesus because they were astounded by his teachings, because he spoke as a person who had power. He spoke as Jesus himself had the power of God. There were two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were taking care of their nets. They were washing them on the shore. They were finishing up for that night. God has meant man to work every day for their daily bread. This work also holds a blessing. And it is true that everyone, from one reason or another, are not able to work, even if work is available. During these summer services, many people have worked much. The service guests have reason to be thankful for the work that people have done to organize these services. And in the Bible, these fishermen in this text had not gotten any fish. But we are told that Jesus stepped into one of the boats and told the owner of that boat, who was a professional fisherman, he told him to row a little ways from the land. And this person did this, and Jesus taught the people while he was sitting in this boat. Perhaps the people could hear him better from across the water. He took this boat so he could speak to the people. When he had finished his speech, he said something that surprised Simon, who was the owner of that boat. We know him better with the name Peter. He was one of his disciples. Perhaps he was the disciple who the Bible speaks the most of. We can read of the task that Jesus gave him. Jesus told him to launch your boat into the deep and put down your nets there. Jesus was not a fisherman, but it looks like he was advising this fisherman. Peter, who was a professional fisherman, was not very enthusiastic, but he agreed to do this. Peter is doubtful and said, "Well, we have worked all night already and we have not gotten any fish." He indirectly complained to Jesus. He said, "We have been working all night. We haven't gotten anything. Why should we try to get some fish in the daytime, because they eat better at night?" But Peter agreed to do what Jesus commanded him to do. A person can voice their doubts freely when in Jesus' presence. But then a person's heart bends to the will of Jesus because there is no other possibility. He said, well, I will let down the nets because you asked me to do it. If a spouse says to the other one, I'll do it because you asked me to. Another way to say it, to say is, I'll do it because, dear one, you are asking me to do it. In the Bible here, I think it is a question of this last example. He agrees to do it because the one who was asking was Jesus. Peter had seen him do miracles. He had seen him cure sick people. But maybe especially Peter remembered that Jesus cured Peter's mother-in-law from a high fever. And it paid to be obedient to Jesus even in this moment. So this, as a result, Simon Peter got such a great amount of fish that his nets began to rip. And he needed the others in the other ships to help him get them up. And it seemed like their ships were going to capsize. We can see how God, Jesus, affected Peter. And we can hear in his words and see what he did. He fell at Jesus' feet. It's hard to do this in a boat that is almost sinking and is full of fish. It is not easy to fall at somebody's feet, but Peter did this because he understood that everything is in Jesus' power. Peter was the owner of the ship, but now this boat was like the Church of Christ, which is often compared to a boat. In this Church of Christ, he went before his knees before Christ, as we all need to go to our knees before Christ, so that we do not think that we ourselves can command where this boat will go. The time when Jesus was in the boat and was sleeping, then, and the boat was going to sink, the apostles, the disciples were in danger, but Jesus helped them and commanded the boat. The disciples had to again and again understand their own position, their own situation. Peter felt himself to be so sinful that he could not be near the Redeemer. But then sometimes Peter was so sure of himself when he was with Jesus. He gave promises that he was not able to keep. Jesus had to teach him that he has come to call those who are sinful, but those sinners have to understand that everything is in Jesus' hands from the beginning to the end. The people's own pride and own strength was crumbled. They had to follow the instructions of Jesus. Peter had to reject this idea he had of fishing. But when he obeyed this strange command of Jesus, it brought a blessing. A man, people may think that living faith cannot be born here or there, but when the winds of God blow, then his congregation grows. As we heard in this text, that God was the master and he affected everything. Peter understood that Jesus was something else. He was not just a normal person. Peter got this holy fear. It is fear and humbleness before something, someone else who is holy. God approaches us in many different ways. He approaches us in his word and through the proclamation of the church, but even in other ways, in the phases of our life, in nature. God can speak to us in any way. And people do not always realize this truth. This is also the grace of God that it happens in this way. I am sure that even in these services, people have discussed their feelings and they have discussed things that have happened to them in their lives. And through all their sorrow and through all their troubles, God has reminded them of the most important things in their life. But this kind of holy fear is that we realize our own situation. And we as people can understand that there is something greater than ourselves. This something is called God, and our life is dependent on him. And for Peter, Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We don't have to think that Peter was especially sinful. The Bible does not tell us anything like this. And people did not say of Peter that, well, why does that sinful person follow God? But Peter experienced his own sinfulness, just like any one of us can feel our own sinfulness. Sin is not separate, like transgressions, but sin is that we become farther from God. And Peter thought, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Sometimes, in order for this feeling of sin to be awakened, we need the holy law of God. And so we realize that we have not been able to fulfill the will of God. This law is not always needed. It was not needed here either. Jesus did not admonish Peter. Peter judged himself. Sometimes we can notice in our own hearts and in our own consciences that we have done wrong. This is good because then it means our conscience is healthy when it warns us of our sinfulness. Is there possibly someone listening now who participated in these services 64 years ago? in the big services in Tornio, in one speech, they congratulated those who felt their own weakness. They said not only good feelings are feelings of grace, but it is a feeling of grace to realize that we are not always good in ourselves. And then in another speech, it was said that God does not care for strong children, but He cares for children who thirst for living water and are hungry for the living bread. Because this living bread and living water is offered to us who live in His congregation. Peter probably meant that when he said, "Depart from me," because he felt his sinfulness. And in a way, it was logical for him to think that as a sinful man, he could not be close to something that was so holy. At that point, Peter could not realize the greatness of God. He was in the presence of one who was holy and felt his own sinfulness. Someone could have told Peter that a person can believe themselves holy even if they are sinful. But could have Peter understood that then? He understood it later and understood it better and better, but not at that point. The motto for the summer services is, "It is good for me to be near God." And this tells us what a Christian feels in his heart. It is good for me to be near God. But we do not always feel so happy every day. A believer can feel as Peter felt then, that depart from me, for I am a sinful man, a sinful person. And even though he said this, Peter did not have to be afraid that Jesus would go away. He trusted, even as we can trust, no matter what our feelings are, that Jesus wants to be close to us, and He calls us to be close to Him, and He wants to offer us grace and forgiveness. We, in our lives, wind up with different difficult situations. We have different experiences, and we, in all of our lives, we have them, some more and some less. But I think when a person is in deep water, God wants to use His nets and catch us. These deep waters may be many trials, many troubles in our lives, many difficulties or feelings of sinfulness, but this is where God acts. And this, when death is near, this is also a place where we are in deep waters. And God wants to throw His nets into these deep waters and pull us close. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is such that the good fish are put into baskets. Eternal life has been promised to us. It is our destination. Death brings sorrow, but it also brings for a Christian eternal life. And these fish are found in these deep waters who are in these baskets in the kingdom of heaven forever. Believe bravely in the midst of your trials and troubles. Believe yourself to be holy. Because of Jesus' work, you can believe in Jesus' name, in his blood. You can believe all your sins forgiven. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This was what was the prayer of Peter. But Jesus did not depart. He did not leave. And perhaps Peter hoped in his heart that Jesus would not go away. He spoke these words, but perhaps in his heart there was a different hope. Do not leave. Do not reject me. I have no place else to flee, no place to go but your goodness. Later on, Peter understood that there was no other possibility than to be in close to Jesus. The faith of the disciples once was tried, and Jesus asked them, "Are you planning to leave?" And again, it was Peter who answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." An individual person in the whole kingdom of God has to understand how Jesus is the center of it, and only Jesus has the words of eternal life. It was felt good for Peter to be close to Jesus in spite of all his thoughts and feelings. And above all, Peter understood his distance, the distance between him and Jesus. But he also understood how God acts. And even in that time, it happened, as it had happened before, that all his thoughts were turned around. He was able to understand again and again how God acts in a different way than what he had thought. And so God acts in a different way than we as people would understand. God is the God of grace and forgiveness toward us sinful people. Jesus had a message for Peter, who was afraid and feeling his sinfulness. This message that is in the Gospel of Luke, which was heard before Zacharias got this message: "Do not be afraid, your prayer has been answered." And Mary, who was great with child, she heard, "Do not be afraid, Mary. God has shown his grace." And the shepherds on Christmas Eve received this message: "Do not be afraid, I proclaim a great joy unto you and to all people." These messages that "do not be afraid," there was also a task connected to them, and so also Peter received a task. Mary received the task of giving birth to and bringing up the Son of God, but Peter also received a great task. His task was to become a fisher of men. Before he had received, God had told him to throw his net into deep waters. But now he received another command from Jesus. Actually, it wasn't even a command, but Jesus just said that from now on, you will be a fisher of men. He did not have to command this sinner who was saved. Peter heard that he is a fisher of men. In these tasks of Mary and Peter, there was something the same. Both of their tasks and the task of the whole congregation is to carry a person near to Jesus so that as many people as possible could receive the forgiveness of their sins in the gospel of the congregation. In the Finnish language, the New Bible talks about fishers of men, and in the old translation, it says you will receive people, and in another translation, it says you will catch fish. Often, after fish are caught, they are killed if they are not already dead. Nowadays, people sometimes fish, and they catch fish, but then they let it back into the water. What do you think, you who are listening, what type of fisherman was Peter and the other apostles called to be? And the Greek word here notes that the fish was taken alive, and it was not meant to kill them, but it was meant to save sin, save people from death, and to catch them into the nets, the heavenly nets. Peter was called into this task. We have talked of Peter several times in these services, but Peter was only one disciple and one person. He did his task in his own time, but his task ended, and the others continued it, as it is in the kingdom of God and in the work of the kingdom. Peter experienced an amazing thing, but it was not the last thing that he experienced. Many times later, he experienced again and again how God acted and what God's grace was and what is God's kingdom like again and again. Peter experienced this. Actually, when we read the New Testament and we read the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, we read the books of the New Testament. Through Peter, we can see many times when he went astray. These are familiar to us. It wasn't long after, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was good to be there, and Peter said, well, let's build a place to be. But Jesus taught them that they could not stay there, but they have to return to everyday life and proclaim the gospel. Peter also asked about his wage. What about us? We have given up everything that we had to follow you. And Jesus taught him that a believer's wage, his actual wage, is gotten in heaven. We also, who are listening, can remember this, or should remember this. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, it says, Peter was able to understand how God acted. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no separator of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter was the first to understand that the Word of God was truly meant to be proclaimed to all nations. This was possible because the disciples had received that which God had promised to them. They had received power from heaven. But nevertheless, at least once or many times, Peter was weak. In the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, Apostle Paul tells us how Paul had understood the pureness of the gospel. And we can see that Peter became weak in the face of those who spoke of the law and its demandingness. And in the Bible, it is spoken of how we often can stray from the freedom of God and go stray into the bondage of the law. We need to pray for wisdom from God that we could remain in the truth of the gospel, as is written in the book to the Galatians. And of Peter, we can think, we can learn much from him. As when we read the Bible and hearing the explanations of the Bible, we can learn much. We can receive many good instructions for our life. But we understand that in the Bible, there are instructions, but the most important are the promises that are given to us people, a comforting tidings to all of us who feel ourselves to be sinful and in many ways being mistaken. It is comforting to think that even in those who followed Jesus, we can see all the weaknesses that each one of us have to carry. And it is comforting above all that in spite of everything, we can accept God's grace and forgiveness. We can accept this gift. We are called to follow Jesus. You who are listening to this speech and feel yourself to be sinful, and you experience as Peter that you are have distanced yourself from God, and you feel that Jesus should go further. You are so poor and unworthy. But the Gospels teach us that those are the types of people that Jesus approached. And it tells us many times that is why he approaches you. Peter's life changed. He received repentance. His life changed. Grace and goodness changed it. And you also can believe that God searches for those who have failed, those who are sinful. Through his kingdom, he is looking for you, and you can believe all your sins forgiven through the merit of Jesus. In his name and precious blood, you can believe your sins forgiven. Peter's former life remained, got left behind, and his new life began. It was a life of the cross, and it was a life of trials. But God told him where he was supposed to travel and forgave him his sins again and again. Peter began to follow Jesus. The children may sometimes play follow the leader. Sometimes it is not easy to follow the leader. The leader says where you should go. And it is not always easy to follow Jesus. It does not always feel good. But Jesus commanded where Peter's life would go and where the other's life would go. But God always shows a good direction for us. And so that's why it pays to follow him and trust in his leadership. We can trust in his grace. The disciples left everything and followed Jesus, and so we also can leave all our sins and our temporal matters in the care of God. And I want to encourage you, brother and sister, who are listening now, believe, be encouraged to believe, all your sins forgiven. And you who are listening, wherever you may be, for some reason or another, you have not been able to come here, or you have not wanted to come here for some reason or another, but you long to hear the gospel, you can hear his forgiveness and these encouraging words. For the sake of the Lord Jesus and in his name, you can believe all your sins forgiven. In this way, we can all believe, and we receive power from the gospel, and we can pray that we would proclaim this gospel to each other. Years ago, there was a big gathering here. They talked of mission work, that all the believers support is needed. This is the work we have been called into. We can tell this good tiding. We can speak of this good tiding and tell how we have been helped to believe. This we can tell of this gracious God who loves us and blesses us with this forgiving gospel in his kingdom every day. In Jesus' name, amen.